all you can do is find false, drop it and get rid of it, and eventually when you can't get rid of any more false, what you're left with is the truth. How much false can you find? Because there's lots of history.
That some of what you're about to see is extremely disturbing. To better explain the events of the story, the director has included actual archive footage throughout the film. This footage was acquired from the director, who has personally documented hours of video and audio materials. In the end, what you believe is yours to decide.
You got another one?
You're Jewish, aren't you, Richard?
Yeah.
You know the joke about Jewish lightning?
I like that one.
Yeah, about the three old guys.
Yeah, tell me that one.
You already heard it.
No, I didn't.
Anyway, they were sitting around in Miami having a drink, and they were all retired old guys, and I said, how'd you end up down here? And the guy said, I had a store in Brooklyn, and I'd been there a long time, and the store wasn't doing too well, so I said, we had a fire, so I just got my insurance money and just to the hell with it and left New York and moved down to Miami. And I said, how about you? And he said, about the same. I had a little clothing store there in New York, and same thing, I've been there 35 years, and you know, it's kind of, the neighborhood was changing, and said, fortunately we had a fire, and said, I just collected my insurance money and moved down here. And they asked the third guy, and he said, yeah, similar stories, and he was somewhere, and he said, business, been there a long time, business is going down, and so I just wanted to get out, and said, fortunately we had a flood, so I just collected my insurance money and left. Taylor two looked at him and said, he said, what? He said, how in the hell do you start a flood?
First to breaking news out of Melbourne, where the nation's largest synagogue has been targeted in a suspected arson attack.
Let's go live to Today Melbourne reporter Isabella Staszkowski, who's in Ripon Lee. Isa, what can you tell us?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, this is a pretty serious incident here. They are treating it as suspicious. I've just been speaking to community members who have been left incredibly shaken. This is the Adas Israel Synagogue, and I want to show you what it looks like this morning. The synagogue is the grey building and the brick building also to its left. Firefighters came here just after 4 a.m. and they found it fully involved. It took quite an effort to bring it under control, almost an hour for crews to do that. People actually came here to pray this morning. They called other community leaders to tell them what was going on, and I'm told that usually around 6:30, 7 a.m. there are a number of people here who do come to pray. They say the numbers are something like 200 to 300 people in the morning coming here to pray. Those sessions go on right throughout the day, and plenty of community members are still here, very shaken up. Here's one of the board members who spoke a little earlier.
The damage inside is quite significant. It did go throughout, but crews are now going inside, checking for hotspots and fire extension.
A shock, just absolutely shock. Didn't think it would happen here in Melbourne to us. We're a quiet community. We have our heads down. We don't bother anybody. We wish everybody well.
quite a large police presence here as well. The fire obviously is now under control, but police are going to investigate exactly what has happened here. There is some belief that maybe a group broke inside the building quite early this morning. Of course, that is all still under investigation, and right now there is an appeal for information if anyone saw something suspicious in Ripon Lee this morning. Meanwhile, a very difficult day for the Jewish community here in Ripon Lee this morning, guys.
All right, thanks for that, Issa.
Jewish lightning. Noun. 1. Offensive. Supposed cause of a fire which is in fact deliberately lit by the property owner in order to benefit from insurance or similar, such as destruction of documents.
Jesus, why not burn down the place and take the insurance?
A little Jewish lightning never hurt anyone.
Oh, fire! Brilliant! What's Jewish lightning? Perhaps Black Lightning's Israeli cousin.
Another painful blow today after a hateful anti-Semitic slur was spray-painted along the side of a car in the eastern suburbs.
Counter-terrorism police are on the hunt for those responsible for a string of anti-Semitic attacks at Sydney synagogues.
Swastikas and references to Hitler were spray-painted on the building.
It's a scene becoming all too familiar in our eastern suburbs.
Fire! A despicable crime.
There's been, to my count, 15 serious anti-Semitic attacks reported to the AFP since June last year. It really burst onto the scene as an issue in early December last year, when in Melbourne there was this overnight firebombing of the ultra-Orthodox Adas Israel synagogue. On December 11 in Woollahra there was a car set alight. January 11, a synagogue in Newtown was vandalised. January 17, the former home of the prominent Jewish leader Alex Rivchen was vandalised and a car set alight as well. And on January 21, a childcare centre in the Sydney suburb of Maroubra, which is nearby a synagogue, it's not directly linked to the Jewish community, but it's in a Jewish area, was set alight. And this led to another outbreak in public concern and the Prime Minister convening a national cabinet under political pressure and also pressure from the Jewish community.
We're learning tonight there could be something more sinister behind Sydney's anti-Semitic attacks.
We believe criminals for hire may be behind some incidents, whether they are in Australia or offshore.
Sean Samet fabricated an attack on December 15th as he left a synagogue. Now police are crediting their investment in technology as one way that helped them crack the case.
Attacks at places of worship are seemingly more common. The most recent at a Texas church earlier this week. Now people like Neil Krugman are always on alert going into temple.
I'm at the point where when I go to services, sometimes I don't really feel comfortable.
Morning, Sean Samet, a former employee at Temple Kolami, is accused of making up a violent stabbing as he left work. West Bloomfield police say Samet claimed a man shouted anti-Semitic comments, then stabbed him. Samet told police he fought the attacker off and drove himself to Henry Ford, but police say his story didn't add up, and a thorough search of the parking lot found no evidence. That's when they analyzed Samet's Apple Watch and looked at his heart rate when Samet claimed the attack happened. Investigators say it was normal and should have been higher, but the watch showed before the attack, Samet's heart rate was elevated, leading police into the synagogue, where they say they found bloody tissues and a knife Samet used to stab himself. Samet's now charged with filing a false police report, exactly why he allegedly made up the attack.
When the attack was reported last week, it seemed believable. The Jewish owner of a Winnipeg cafe physically attacked her family's business, trashed and painted in anti-Semitic graffiti. It shocked the community and led to an outpouring of support, exactly the way you'd expect. But then, today, it all got turned upside down. Police say the cafe owners staged the whole thing and have charged them with a crime. As Cameron McIntosh tells us, even as the family sticks by its story, the community is in shock once again.
Did you fake the vandalism
around this morning? We didn't. Because we don't joke about swastika on our walls.
They flatly deny it, insisting they are in fact victims of hate.
Oksana Berendt and her son Maxim explaining themselves on CBC Radio just after being charged along with Oksana's husband hours before for public mischief.
In this moment, somebody grabbed me.
She insists on last Thursday night she was alone inside her Winnipeg cafe when she was attacked. The cafe was also robbed and vandalized with anti-Semitic graffiti. The story caused an outpouring of sympathy and defiant denouncements of hate. Until today.
In the end, we found evidence of a crime. It just wasn't a hate crime. I am hugely disappointed and frankly angry that this family has used hate and racism in such a disingenuous way.
It's not something that we do. It's against our Jewish law. It's against our beliefs.
They can find any evidence against anybody.
At first, some members of Winnipeg's Jewish community deemed it the most brazen local anti-Semitic attack in memory. Now, B'nai B'rith says if these allegations are true, it damages the entire community.
This is a betrayal of the community and a betrayal of also the police. It's a waste of time. And of course, people might roll their eyes at incidents in the future and think, oh, is it true or is it not?
If the charges are upheld by court, it's disgusting.
The cafe had been up for sale, as is Oksana's home. Bernie Bellin writes for Winnipeg's Jewish Post and News. He says hate attacks involving assault are rare.
My first instinct was that this is terrible, but it doesn't have the normal hallmarks of an anti-Semitic incident.
But the Berendts insist they were targeted and say they're scared.
It's completely broke our family, our business, everything.
Meanwhile, an interfaith vigil that was planned for tomorrow night here at the cafe has been canceled, and a crowdfunding campaign that was set up to help support the family has been taken down amid a lot of disappointment, confusion, and anger. Cameron McIntosh, CBC News, Winnipeg.